From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. I'm Ryan Tracy, one of your hosts, and all three of us are going to be on today. Just so you know, all of you new folks, we've been covering this team for about going on 5 years now in podcast form. I'm a former strength and conditioning coach, exercise physiologist. We have Chris here from Chiefs Digest, an analyst over there. Seth is writing for The Athletic, does all kinds of film breakdown. And if you're new to us, we want to welcome you because we've been seeing a lot of new people lately. So that said, we're going to talk all about a couple of important things. A, the reaction to the Kareem Hunt issue. A lot about Houston and Ford and fixing this pass rush, making sure that you can maintain what you did well in 2018 as they move forward onto this new system in 2019. But first, it looks like the saga of having a linebacker coach has come to a conclusion. Multiple reports, both from Kentucky as well as Charles Paylor is confirmed, Matt Derrick has confirmed. The Chiefs have worked out a way to retain Matt House as the linebacker's coach. He's coming to Kansas City. Kentucky will release him. It looks like he's been negotiating a buyout, and the Chiefs have been helping get him. So instant reaction is that not only is it good to have that, which was a key cog, maybe the key cog on the coaching staff going into 2019, it's good to have that taken care of, but it's also very telling that the team has been willing to push through this issue back and forth about being able to complete the buyout. Looks like the team's going to pay for it as well. So they are clearly very, very motivated to have Matt House in their house, so to speak, to coach the inside linebackers, all the linebackers, really. And that goes back to him having a relationship with Steve Spagnuolo and Spagnuolo's relationship with Reed. And obviously, Reed's calling most of the shots here. Input from others, but Andy Reed is clearly the guy that is driving this bus towards making the Super Bowl run. And he has said to Steve Spagnuolo and has made other comments that back it up that it is Super Bowl or bust. This is the time to win. So I think this is just another piece, another step towards that goal that really shows how dedicated the Chiefs organization as a whole is right now to building a winner in Kansas City at all costs. Even if you have to throw money at the University of Kentucky to get your linebackers coach, so that you can have a staff that is ready to help these players, a lot of young players, take the next step forward and get to that Super Bowl. So I find it very encouraging. Obviously, there's other things going in around the league. We're going to start here in a second talking about some of the news, but I just wanted to get that out. I thank you guys for listening, and here's the three of us, and we'll start talking about the other news. A lot of stuff going on. We have plenty of things to talk about on both sides of the ball, but we haven't had a chance to hear from either of you guys about your take about this signing of Kareem Hunt. Chris, when it first hit, what was your impression?
Not surprising it was Dorsey that did it, but it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out because there's still a lot of unanswered questions as to whether or not this is going to be something that's going to work long term. But for them, you know, it's a 1 year deal. There's really no guarantees, and it's very little risk and could be high reward.
That's a pretty short leash. Seth, do you have anything in particular that you find surprising about it?
I'm surprised that there's a team that was willing to sign him before the findings of the NFL's investigation came out. For a couple of reasons. One, the most practical one being the length of suspension is unknown. It's just kind of interesting, you know, what if his suspension is 12 games or just some huge number? They're apparently investigating three different incidents, and that's, you know, that might give them carte blanche to kind of set an example and say, you know what, we're suspending you for a full season. And then maybe you're just paying for a guy who's suspended. That surprises me. It surprises me that it's Cleveland, even though I understand John Dorsey and his whole deal. But I mean, his hometown is just the absolute worst place he could end up.
Yeah, that was
based on everything. Yeah.
Everything that's happened.
Yeah. Well, based on everything I've heard and everything that's public is that a huge problem is that, you know, he's got his buddies and that's where he finds himself in a lot of trouble. He didn't get in trouble hanging out, you know, with Patrick Mahomes or other Chiefs players, although that apparently did happen the one time when it was kind of like a practice squad type guy or whatever. And so I don't think it's a good idea. I more tend to view this in terms of Kareem Hunt, the person, here's what I know based on what I do, based on, you know, being a child protection attorney. I see a lot of parents that need second chances as my clients, right? In my experience, even though my job is often to fight for those second chances to happen as quickly as possible, I almost always advise my clients to not try to get too much too fast. Because in my experience, when a second chance happens this quickly, it ends badly.
I can't say I disagree with you. I talked about it yesterday, but yeah, it's certainly not the ideal environment, I think, for him to try and correct his behavior. So
one thing I will say about this is that, to me, I don't disagree that he's being set up to fail, but I also will say that it's surprising it was Cleveland a little bit, but at the same time, considering who John Dorsey is and John Dorsey drafted him, that doesn't surprise me, and I think that somebody would have signed him sometime this offseason regardless. So it only takes one team. Obviously right now it's looking, you know, we're looking at it and it's Dorsey, but I still think that somebody would have signed him regardless at some point this year.
Fair enough. And you know, and there's a bunch of signing back and forth going on. We touched on it the other day. Chris and I had a chance to talk about it, but Seth, your take on, new D-line coach, don't know any status on Britt Reed, whether he could become an assistant to that particular position. Maybe he moves position groups. Maybe he's no longer with the team. But that's just one of the pieces. But how are you feeling about the way this coaching search is going?
So my understanding, I'm trying to keep this in mind now. They've got their secondary coach in Merritt, right? So they've got their secondary coach in Merritt, the guy from Jacksonville, correct?
I believe so.
Right. And then the defensive line coach, and I'm terrible with names, and it's been a long day. So, and then they've got their defensive line coach
Daly
from New England, which I think is a great hire.
Mm-hmm.
Based on how much overachieving I saw from the Patriots defensive line. And also, let's say, for example, if they decide they need to go to free agent round, maybe Trey Flowers really likes him and he's a big reason Trey Flowers was good this year. I don't know. I'm just saying, Ryan. I am just saying.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, so I really like those two hires. I've heard, you know, some people have kind of, you know, wondered, you know, what the plan is here and that kind of thing. I mean, the reality is once you've got your defensive coordinator in place, now they've got two of the three major position coaches hired. And then from then on out, you know, everything just kind of fills in, right?
I think with that, folks, we'll take our break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the guy who may be the linchpin to this offseason plan, and they may have already said it, and we just haven't heard yet. Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. So, Chris, you have to feel like they're going to tag Dee Ford, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine that it goes any other direction. I just can't see them giving him a long-term deal before you get some of the other pieces taken care of first in Hill and Jones. And maybe they sign Dee Ford to a long-term deal this year, but I think he's going to play under the franchise tag for 2019.
And Seth, is that okay with you?
If they tag him, that's absolutely okay with me. The one problem with the tag is it does limit your salary cap options and flexibility. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. I mean, you can always work around the salary cap. You know, they could sign Chris Jones to a deal, and I'm not saying it would be a good idea, but they could sign Chris Jones to a deal that only takes up $2 million in 2019. They certainly mm-hmm. can do that. So, people act like the story I always refer people to back to. You remember when the Saints had like supposedly like $500,000 in cap space and they went out and signed Jarius Bird back when everyone thought the Jarius Bird was one of the best safeties in the NFL to mm-hmm. a huge deal somehow. And everyone's like, how are they doing this? It's witchcraft. Well, it's just structure. And so I don't worry about the cap as much as other people do. Mahomes or no Mahomes. I just don't. With Ford, I happen to have spent a little bit of time on him lately. By little, I mean my wife doesn't remember what I look like anymore. But yeah, it's important. I mean, it's such a big deal. And so, you know, I went back, and obviously you can find this on The Athletic. I went back and I reviewed, I have 8, 9, 10 games of his. I don't remember. Made sure to include the playoff games from the beginning to the end of the season. And my opinion on him is a little different, with the obvious caveats in mind about 1 year performances. I will say mm-hmm. this, he came around as a run defender. Now, no one's going to confuse him for peak Justin Houston as a run defender, but he was decent. Like, he wasn't terrible. He wasn't good, but he at least sprinkled in good snaps there and held his own a fair amount of the time. He used to be just a, I don't know what's the, what, turnstile? No, that's for tackles. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Don't start talking about running the wrong way either.
Yeah. Oh, that was so awful. But I'm okay with how he performed there. And I think he can hold up as a 43 defensive end, provided he's not asked to do too awful much against the run. He penetrates well if he's asked to do that. And he really has come away as defending the edge. As far as a pass rusher go, he's still not as consistent as I'd like in terms of being like an elite guy. But he's very good, and he had a few games that he really took over. And he had a few games like the Rams were chipping him constantly. Now, they were chipping Houston constantly, too. They were really concerned about the pass rush. One reason Chris Jones dominated. But, I mean, he really changed game plans of a few teams throughout the course of the game. The Raiders, for example, the first time they played, they started off leaving Ford one-on-one, and he destroyed that. And so they had to completely alter their game plan. So if they were able to convince him to do like a, I don't know, 13, 14 mil a year, I think I'd be on board with it. Even though it's off of 1 year.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see. I don't know if I'd be comfortable with that or not. The 1 year thing I really, really has me, you know, trepidatious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely not do that deal.
You wouldn't do 13 or 14 mil, huh?
Nope.
Really? Is that been, so I'm curious because both of you guys, you, now here again, I'm coming off fresh, reviewing all his film, first fully healthy season he's had in years. He looked good. I mean, he's worked on his inside move. Again, the article's there. I wrote about a ton of stuff that he really did legitimately improve on. Now, people, you know, calling him one of the best pass rushers in the league, I disagree. I don't think he is. I think he is in that tier below the Von Millers and Khalil Macks of the world. But that's still a valuable piece.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So what's the trepidation? It's the 1 year thing.
It's the 1 year thing, and the fact that it's the only year he's been healthy. And I don't know that you can guarantee that going forward. You'd like to think that the surgery corrected what the underlying issue was, and that he should mm-hmm. be healthy going forward. But I think it's a big risk, and I don't mind the 1 year, you know, franchise tag prove it thing, and then maybe if he can put them back to back. But I don't know.
Right. What about you, Chris? Is that the issue there too?
That's the biggest part of it. There's another part of it too for me that I just don't think that, and I've said this before, I don't think he's going to be a great fit in this system for one, because he can't set the edge very well, although he did do better this year. And two, I just don't think he's long term. I mean, how old is he right now? 27, 28?
He turns 28, I think, in a few months here.
Yeah. You're paying him at the back end of his career.
Wow.
I'm not saying he won't be viable for the next 3 years, but at that point, you know, do you really think he's going to be a great pass rusher when he's 20, when he's 31, 32? And yes, I understand you could cut him then, but I still don't think he fits that situation very well.
Right. I suppose, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, here's the deal. One thing that I'm discovering, because I'm watching Houston a little as I go, one thing I'm looking forward to is I'm going to do the Houston review. I suppose this is a little spoiler. People wondering what's coming up the next few weeks. I'm going to look at Houston as well to kind of have their reviews as back-to-back as possible so I can compare the two of them. The biggest thing for me, and Pro Football Focus came out with this, they've started to chart win rate, which I'm like, hey.
Hey.
which, to be fair, I mean, anyone who knows what they're doing has been doing this for years. I didn't invent this. I had someone who scouts players tell me this is how they did it. I thought, wow, that's a good idea. So that's why I do it the way I do it. That's how everyone does it, I believe, who's serious about things. So one thing Pro Football Focus noted is that Houston was like 15th or something like that in pressure rating, like in percentage of pressure from the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, I mean, he was, you know, like one percentage point away from, you know, like fifth. And that's how close those things are. but he was fifth in win percentage. And so one thing I'm curious about, one thing I've often said with regards to Houston Ford comparing the two, is that Houston just wins a lot more often, and Houston and Ford's wins when he does them are often faster. So that results in good pressure, but not as high a win rate, which, you know, maybe you're willing to live with that. But I'm really, really curious comparing and contrasting the two of them. And that's one thing that it's just, it's a tough thing to extrapolate what Ford will do moving forward.
I'm encouraged by what the wide nine is going to do for him, because I look at some of the reps that he had this last season when he was in that kind of alignment and being able to engage the tackles deeper into the backfield. He's got a lot more momentum of that because of his first step. I feel like it may be a thing that makes him more effective in being that wide more often.
Mm-hmm. And I could definitely see that.
Well, definitely. And I see where you're coming from, Ryan. I guess for me, and this is something I said on Monday's episode, Seth, that for me, you look at the situation, I can't remember that many guys that have actually been excited about getting the franchise tag or okay with getting the franchise tag. And that also makes me a little leery about giving him a large sum of money right now.
Right. Right. And yeah, he may be a tough guy. It is definitely the 1 year thing. Cause yeah, I have people say, oh, he just gave more effort last year. It's like, man, that's usually not how it goes, but it is concerning. So it's either health or it took him 5 years to learn how to play the position.
Therese always says,
yep.
Contract years never defeated.
Undefeated. Undefeated, right? Baby.
And now that we've all echoed Therese enough, I think we'll take our second break, folks. We'll talk about some of the other things that are related to D Ford as well.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
So when you talk about that, and I like the fact that you're going to do the Houston review back to back, because I agree with you, that's apples to apples and how they work together, mm-hmm. because I think that's a big part of the overall effect that they have as a front together with Chris Jones. But that said, still question marks, no definitive answer about even looking at Houston's contract, at least what we heard from Brett Veach in his conference call last week. And then the question about the safety routine. Because I'm not so sure that these smaller, lighter safeties that the Chiefs have a few of are really going to fit into the Spagnuolo defense from what he likes to do. And I'm not sure where they stand on Barry, but what's your take on that current situation?
I have no idea. That's a really good point.
Oh, well, that was insightful.
Back to you, Chris.
You know, honestly, we could talk about Barry and Houston all day. It's going to end up coming down to what the Chiefs feel like they're going to be able to do. We haven't heard Barry's had surgery yet. That is a little concerning for me because I think it's something that he has to have if he wants to contribute moving forward. If he doesn't want to be in Kansas City, then that's another issue. And I'm not saying he doesn't, but I can't see how Kansas City pays him if he's going to pull anything like what he did, or if he's going to do anything like what he did this season. So to me, his surgery is a necessity for him. When it comes to the rest of them, you know, Ryan, you and I talked about this. Sorensen may fit, maybe. Eric Murray, you're right. I don't know that he's really going to fit. Armani Watts, is he going to fit? I'm not sure. A lot of question marks when it comes to that position and moving forward for Kansas City, but at least they do have three top picks in the top 100 this year that I do think that they will use. To help safety position and probably corner as well.
Oh, I like where you're going with
that. I agree that they're going to trade for Patrick Peterson.
Ah!
I'm sorry.
No more second round picks.
All your second round picks. But yeah, I don't know with regards to size and that kind of stuff. The Barry thing, it's just such a complete unknown, especially often when usually guys want to bring in at least a few of their own guys, and Landon Collins is such an obvious
please, to throw out there.
The guy flies around the field. One interesting thing, I saw, you know, that Eric Reed got a contract extension
mm-hmm.
With the Panthers, which came to a shade over like $7.5 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
He played at a pretty high level last year. And so that to me is a good sign for teams that are going to be buyers in the safety market. Now, it's a better contract than anyone got in the safety market last year. Make no mistake.
Right. But still highly affordable when you look at it historically, right?
Yes, yes. And that's why, again, the Eric Berry situation is so malleable, because the Chiefs happen to sign a safety the offseason, and it happens to be Berry, the offseason before the bottom fell out of the safety market.
Well,
and so his deal looks more and more like, I mean, just completely weird next to what other safeties are getting. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, that feeds into, I really liked what I heard from Brett Veach in terms of talking about his plan and the fact that they set a board for free agency as well as the draft. Mm-hmm. And that they coexist next to each other because you're trying to fulfill what your plan is for the offseason. And it does include free agency. I don't know that we've heard him say that in your last year. And John Dorsey certainly wouldn't give away what he was going to do in free agency. So the fact that they've set an actual board, I think, is a telling bit of just how in depth this version of the Chiefs front office is going in terms of scouting personnel. And I think that's a positive sign for possibly free agency being something that they do at safety.
That would be, I would love to see them be aggressive there. I really would. And, you know, what happens with Barry? Well, we'll see.
Any thoughts on that, Chris?
You were talking to me.
Do you have thoughts?
Yes, I have thoughts. Plenty of them. Unfortunately, we
don't
have,
safety?
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to go into all my thoughts today. As far as safety is concerned, you know, I hope they make a move. I would love to see Barry back. Whether or not that happens, who knows at this point. We will find out soon enough. You know, Justin Houston is another piece that I think is going to determine possibly the safety, what they do with safety, because of his cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
If they can figure out what to do with him, it could open up room to do something else.
That's true.
So I think that needs to be taken into account as well.
So as we started the show, we're right back to knowing what we think is going to happen with Dee Ford and a whole lot of other questions. But I like where you guys are going, and I think it is time to start looking, as we tie into what we just talked about, is looking at the draft safeties as well. So, folks, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about some of the draft options and about weighing those priorities between free agency and the draft. So thank you for all of your time. We have a new segment coming for you on Friday, so make sure you check that out, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.